Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to overlook that St. Paul reasons from apostle to believer, from ministers to Christians, from preachers to hearers. In many places, he addresses his brothers in his letters, and not always his brothers and sisters, as the footnotes tell us. We who proclaim have an audience of believers, and we are their servants for Jesus' sake. Apart from all polities and hierarchies of church history, and without the modern concepts of servant leadership and managerialism, clearly the scriptures set forth an office of the ministry that is centered in preaching and that is a stewardship. It's a stewardship that does not, in fact, want to be bogged down for very long with making itself the center of attention. Now, this is at the heart of Paul's inverse boasting throughout his letters. Not only must he shame the Judaizers who want to boast of their works by pointing out that he, measurably, is better than them, but he also must constantly assert his apostolic authority, although there is no profit in that either. A reductionism is always an immature way of thinking. And just because something is the main thing does not eliminate the necessary but secondary things that have to come along with it. And therefore, Paul teaches about his office, although he does not take great honors for it. He defends the rights and the privileges of ministers, but he notes that he does not take advantage of those rights for himself. He has the powerful working of God, he himself being a stunning example as the former persecutor turned apostle, the one who works harder than the rest, though not he says, but the grace of God that is with him. And he boasts all the more of his weaknesses. Paul never dared call himself a prince of the church. Our hymns call him that, because Paul himself told us that we are to give greater honor to the elders who teach. And which of us has not had St. Paul as his teacher? This passage is essential, then, to understand the office of the holy ministry. The Spirit and His scriptures compel pastors to teach about their own authority. The Holy Spirit has to compel them because it goes against every instinct of a Christian service to proclaim, not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We ourselves are the servants. We are not the Lord's. For Jesus' sake. The brightness that we have is not our own. God grant that a pastor would grow and know the knowledge of the glory of God from the scriptures, but even so, we grow and we become expert in them. We become expert only in what is common to all. Grandmothers also know the Holy Scriptures and love them. Light shines in her heart, and the darkness has not overcome it. Therefore, together with the authority of the Lord's office and his ministers, it must also be shown and be believed by them most of all, that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to them. The treasure is carried by a vessel to be handed over. And this does not mean that the ministers should be ugly or shameful or openly and contentedly cracked and broken. It means they are, of course, to adorn the holy ministry with a holy life, as all ministers have promised in your hearing and before the Lord's hearing as well, to whom they must give an account. But the fragility that Paul has in mind here is not their sin, but their suffering. The authority is worthy of honor, but it will not often receive it. And the honor that a true servant of Christ wishes to have is the honor of having a hearing and of having a believing. They are not looking for decorations to adorn their pots. The vessel does its duty when its treasure is shared. And the vessel is injured along with its treasure whenever somebody casts aside that treasure, as many do in this world. So in this condition, servants then become like their master. And so Paul, in particular, was shown just how much he must suffer for the sake of Christ's name. But now here, let us recognize that we also progress from hearer to preacher, from Christian to minister, from believer to apostle, because suffering is by no means limited to the office of the holy ministry. Just as it is our hope that in knowledge and in understanding of the Scriptures, pastors would be like every other Christian, but more so, as befits their purpose, likewise, in suffering and in afflictions and in mockery, God grant that ministers be no different than every other Christian, except perhaps more so, more willing, more bold, more persistent in it. We, above all, should carry in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies, and specifically for the sake of the ones that we serve. This is a demonstration not of managerial practice or of rhetorical force, but it is actually a demonstration of faith itself. Faith, which is a treasure more precious than gold, which perishes even though it is tested by fire. Faith endures despite many sufferings and crosses. And indeed, like gold, it's actually refined by it. Since such faith is in no way unique to ministers, nor then is the condition that we are all jars of clay bearing something surpassing, a treasure which is not our own, but is God's. Therefore, let us all be encouraged by the preaching and by the example of St. Paul and of many others who have brought us the powerful and creative Word of God to create faith out of darkness and nothing in our hearts, and who counted it joy to suffer for that preaching. Therefore, let us all sing as we have, Romans 8, and take this confidence also to ourselves, whether we are preachers or whether we are hearers. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but are not destroyed. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus. But this is so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies also. Sheep and shepherds appointed for the slaughter. And nevertheless, the Son that cheers our spirit is Jesus Christ, our King. And the heaven that we shall inherit makes us rejoice and sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.